Cody Coates.
Joe Coyote.
How are you doing this evening, sir?
I'm doing really well.
We have a big show this week.
We do, because WWDC is next week.
Before we go into that, though, we have some points of follow-up. If you are a Patreon supporter, our after show for May is out. This is our second after show, we hope you guys enjoy it. And it's a thank you for all the supporters out there who throw us a couple bucks per month on Patreon. You also got your fluoroelastomer band in the mail. Is that right, Cody?
Yes, I finally have it, and I've been wearing it for, I don't know, almost a week now. And I like it. It is, it doesn't feel like rubber. It feels like something else, and that's why they use the fluoroelastomer name. I found that I can wear the band a lot tighter than I wear my Milanese loop band and not notice it, because it doesn't really... when it's tighter, it's not going to move around. And with the metal, it kind of was annoying to have it that tight. But I can have it much tighter, and I don't really even notice it at all. So it's going to be great for working out. Like, this is the workout band for sure. Apple definitely thought about that and did the right, you know, polymer science or whatever to make a good band for working out. But every day, it is... typing on my computer, it's kind of a pain because the footprint on the bottom part where the kind of the two bands overlap, and then there's the little, you know, all the little holes and the little pin to go through, that overlap is a lot thicker than the Milanese band. And so typing on the desk, I can, like, my wrists feel at different heights, and it's kind of annoying. I've still been typing with it just to see how bad it is, but I think I'm definitely going to be switching back to the Milanese for just everyday wear, and then working out, I'll switch to this guy.
You also can make it your weekend band if you wanted to.
Oh, right. Yeah, of course.
It could be your workout and your weekend band. Just an idea. Just an idea to throw out there. Without further ado...
The epicenter of change.
I was just about to say that, Cody. Oh my goodness, you're reading my mind. The epicenter of change, which...
I'm in the epicenter of change. I'm here, but you're across the country.
But let's analyze that for a second, because that is a pretty big and bold statement. I was really thinking about it just a little bit earlier when I was walking my dog. The epicenter of change is kind of like... massive. It sounds like it's signifying like a turning point, but with the rumors and speculation out there, it doesn't correlate with that with their saying. I mean, what do you think they mean when they say epicenter of change?
Well, I mean, first off, when has Apple ever been shy of using, like, over the top language to describe things? So epicenter of change, I feel, is like right out of Apple PR marketing vocabulary. What they mean, I don't know. Like, what was the one last year? It was like, write the code, change the world. And so I feel like it's just as gimmicky. And, like, that said nothing about what they're doing. And I think it's going to be the same with this.
All right. I mean, you could very well be right. The couple things surrounding, like, USB-C Thunderbolt, and just, you know, kind of some follow-up on us talking about, you know, possibly Apple making some external, like, 5K displays. The new 15-inch, the one that just got revised with the Force Touch trackpad, that is confirmed to be able to support 5K displays. So that is very interesting. It seems like another step towards them eventually putting out a 5K display. I think so. I personally think so. But more importantly, one that threw me off a little bit. I didn't think that this was going to be a standard, but Thunderbolt 3, it looks like they're going to have the same port shape as USB-C.
I thought this was interesting.
It's interesting because, like, Mini Display and Thunderbolt shared the same like port, but they were kind of two different things. This is kind of the first time that data is like just pure data transfer is sharing the same port. And I don't know. It's just, I don't know how they're going to do this. Like, when, say you get a laptop, and let's just say some of these laptops are eventually coming with three ports. There are three ports, and they're all shaped like USB-C. Are all three capable of doing USB 3 and Thunderbolt 3? Or is it, you know, I feel like it can get a little confusing, but it definitely confirms the, you know, I don't know if you remember, I think it was Gruber who kind of hinted that Apple was a real big proponent of USB-C, and they may have helped it become the standard as far as getting it invented.
Yeah, that was Gruber.
Yeah, this seems to be kind of confirming that, because now if Thunderbolt 3 is going to be the same shape, you know, this new MacBook may not look as... may not look as crazy as we think. You know, they may be able to run a ton of things under like two USB-C type ports, but they're more multifaceted.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's it was probably Apple saying, hey, Intel, they're going to look like this and it needs to do this because we're going whole hog on USB-C. And I think it will really be telling if the next iPhone or the generation of after that, Lightning is dropped and everything is going to USB-C. I think it'd be really cool if Apple switched to, because they've always had proprietary ports. I mean, they're not actually proprietary, but like FireWire and Thunderbolt were pretty much just Apple ports, and MagSafe is definitely a proprietary one. So it would be a really big Apple change to go to something where everything, display, data, power, all is on this USB-C port that everyone is using.
So... possibly to coincide with WWDC, I have a feeling Tim may announce this in the beginning of the keynote, since they haven't really done a retail update in a very long time. But it seems like Angela Arends has sent out some internal memos to retail employees saying that the watch is going to be in stores in June, you know, ready to be sold to customers. And it just makes sense that, you know, Tim, or I would love to see Angela on stage announce this, you know, to the crowd of WWDC. That would be great. I know it's not really developer related. The news that is,
but when is anything at WWDC
exactly
solely developer related?
Exactly. I mean, you even saw that in Google I/O's keynote. Some of the stuff was like super developer-y, that's a word. I'm going to say developer-y. And then the other stuff was just like, hey, we're just going to brag. Here's the, you know, the cool features. But what is for developers, and this is public knowledge, Jeff Williams at CodeCon a week or two ago, he says that a preview for native watch apps are coming, they're going to get the preview now, and the apps themselves will be coming out in the fall.
Yeah, I think it's going to be just I think fall means iOS release, which also, like, new iOS release, which also means iPhone, and rather than doing another point update, because I guess, 8.4 is going to be the music app, rather than having an 8.5 that enables watch apps, native watch apps, they're just going to wait for iOS. Are we at 9? Yeah, 9. I've lost track of our numbers. for iOS 9, it'll just be new phone and finally native watch apps.
That's going to be a welcome change for watch owners. I'm sure you're going to love that.
Well, you know, I feel really weird. I barely use any watch apps at all.
Wow, still, huh?
Yeah, I really haven't found many where they're like super useful. I mean, I love getting the notifications for everything on my wrist, but I haven't really opened up apps to do something on the watch. I use the glances quite a bit, but really, I don't really find myself actually going and trying to pick at the screen to open up an app. But yeah, I am excited to see the watch apps aren't really that useful. So I am excited to see one that actually will be see what it will be able to do with a native SDK, and see the kind of change that can come from this epicenter with a watch kit.
Yeah, and I forget who said this. I was listening to a podcast. They were saying, you know, is it possible that with iOS 9 and this new, you know, native watch kit, that Apple could have some things happen natively on the watch, but also some things still happen through WatchKit, because you have limited space on these watches. There's still only 8 gigs of storage available. So, and you know, they want some of that for your music and stuff like that. So, you know, they got to keep the size, you know, modest as far as app size goes. So that's going to be interesting to see how they navigate through that, because people are going to want to load a ton of apps. I mean, you definitely seem to be in the minority of someone who's not using many apps. I mean, I see a lot of people post their watch screenshots and...
Oh, I have tons of apps downloaded, but it's actually like going in and using it. It's a different situation.
So one thing that's going to be... brought to iOS, according to Gurman. First off, Cody, all the links are going to be in our show notes, and let's just say that the majority of them are going to be scoops by Mark Gurman. I can't keep track. You'll have to click and see. But where could our listeners find our show notes if they wanted to follow along?
diagnosticsandusage.com/20
Wow, 20. I just realized that. Fantastic. Yeah.
We can almost drink. Our show will be able to drink next week.
Wow.
In celebration of iOS 9.
So, maps. Maps, man. Apple Maps is supposed to get some big, big updates. And for not just transit, my friend. I'm talking about possibly a Street View type technology. Apple's looking to kind of... get rid of the third-party hooks that they've been using. You know, they've hooked into a lot of things. They've hooked into Yelp, TomTom, Waze at some point, and a lot of other stuff if you go into your, like, map settings. Let's start with transit. It's a long time coming.
Yeah.
You know, they had HopStop for a very long time, and it's just... at this point, it's not, like, amazing. Like, when they announce it, it's going to be, well, great.
Duh.
Yeah, I mean, unless they have some kind of, I don't know, very unique feature to it. But if it's just transit directions, it's transit directions, you know, trains, buses.
Well, that's exactly what they have to have. They have to have some killer feature that will say, oh, maybe I should use Apple Maps instead of opening up the Google Maps app that I downloaded. I mean, everyone in New York City had to download something else. They couldn't use Apple Maps because there wasn't transit directions. So they have to have something that's going to bring them back in. And I don't really know if indoor mapping or like that's going to be it, or like Street View, that's catching up. That's not anything new. 3D images, that's been a gimmick in maps for a while. So they really have to pull something out. I mean, I hope it's good. We'll see next week, I guess.
Yeah, Google, the indoor mapping is not very compelling to me. I mean, Google has done that, and I mean, once you're like, they'll take pictures of inside of a store, and it's like, once you're in there, it's like, well, I mean, what do I do now?
Yeah.
You know, but what I'm concerned about is another flyover mess, meaning, you know, when flyover came out, it looked disgusting. You know, they weren't ready to push that technology. So, and also, let's be honest, flyover had no purpose. There was no, you didn't gain any, you know, it was just a fun thing so you can see things in like around the world. But they have these, you know, there's these nondescript minivans have been floating around the United States. And they've been doing, you know, Google Street View type of stuff. It's got to be solid. And the benefit of them announcing it now is like right now I have a feeling that in WWD next week they're going to say, oh, we have these cities mapped out. But when it comes to the fall, when it's actually a public release, that will allow them to ramp up and then just send people out like crazy in those cars, just driving around. Mapping, but the key thing is it cannot be a flyover flop.
It can't be a Maps flop.
You're right. No, I was just going to say, you're right. It can't be. Nothing can flop right now in this iOS 9 Maps. They're still dealing with the damage. And I even, like, if every piece of this information that Gurman has scooped is true, I still think I'm going to use Google Maps. The search, you know, I've complained about the search plenty of times on the show. And their search is still ridiculous. Josh Topolsky was just talking about it with Gruber on his podcast. On Topolsky's podcast, and he said, like, on his Apple Watch, he searched for, Katz's Deli in New York City, a very famous landmark, and it took him, it showed him a place in, like, rural Pennsylvania.
Yep.
Like, it's unacceptable. So, Maps is a non-negotiable. It has to be rock solid.
I just searched for Katz's Deli and I got Connecticut.
No, only one I am aware of is in New York. So yeah, it took them somewhere in Connecticut, which is crazy. But more iOS stuff. You know, they're saying that it's going to have an enhanced keyboard. Right now with the 6 Plus and even the 6 in landscape, you have those extra buttons. Which, by the way, as an aside, I have not been able to type in landscape mode. It's now that the keyboard's kind of centered and they have those buttons on the side, I can't get used to
it. Oh yeah, it's, I suck at it.
And then iMessage, a couple little things. One thing that I like that may come in iMessage is when you're in a group message, you'll be able to see delivered and read receipts, because you can't do that right now with groups, because, you know, it, multiple people are in there, so it has to handle, like, if you're in a conversation with Cody and Bill, it's going to say Bill read this, and then when you read it, it'll say Cody read this. So that's a nice touch. Apple Pay loyalty rewards program, I'm dying for that.
I think it'll be I have no idea what I will use it for, but I think it's pretty cool.
What do you mean? I feel like they would incorporate with the current loyalty programs in these places. Like, for example, every time that I have to go to a Duane Reade, I reach out my wallet, I take out my loyalty card, I scan it, I put the card back in my wallet, back in my pocket, and then I take my iPhone out. Even though I could take my card out, but I do it for security purposes, I take my iPhone out and then I pay at the terminal. I would love to have that all in one thing where I open up Passbook and it has that, and I could just pull it up and they can scan that, and then I can just tap with my phone. I think that's going to be big. And then I also think that they're going to announce a ton more partners, because, like you, I think you mentioned it, a lot of these currency deals are expiring. Now, I forgot to tell you this, Cody. So I was in, unfortunately, I was in a Rite Aid, which Rite Aid does not take Apple Pay, as you know. But here's something very, very interesting. Okay. So Rite Aid doesn't take Apple Pay. They do take other forms of contactless payment. But I was in my local Rite Aid recently, and they had new terminals. And these terminals, get this, these terminals were the identical terminals that are in Panera Breads. So, yeah. I mean, identical. So that means they can accept
the
Apple Pay.
Are they the black ones?
They're black.
They got a really big screen and then
really
like a
big
little
screen.
Cover
yep.
over
and
the numbers. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. They had that one and the same one in Panera. Now, I tried my Apple Pay just to see if it would work like a week ago. And of course I got denied, but, but it recognized it. It did the little scan and all that. So I have a feeling that Rite Aid is ramping up and is very close to breaking the chains as well. So all around, great things about Apple Pay. But one thing that came out that I think is probably the most compelling is Apple's possible take on Google Now, called keyword proactive. Have you read about that?
I mean, just the skim the scoop. I didn't read like every single word, but I want them to do it really well, but I just have no faith in Apple. Like, how I feel about they're going to pull off Maps is how I feel about them being able to pull off like some kind of machine learning like this, where they're able to do natural language processing given the current context, and then come up with some interface between the person via text or voice and be able to have those context and natural language processing abilities. Like, we haven't seen them really be able to do it anywhere else. I mean, voice transcription is one thing, but this is, you know, what Google's doing is a whole other thing. And I think that, I mean, the really big problem I see is that this week, I think it was today or yesterday, you know, Tim Cook kind of like railed on Google for their privacy stuff. And, you know, Apple's super about privacy, keeps all of our stuff secure. They don't read our messages. They don't, you know, look at our photos. And it's hard to get enough data to give something like Google Now or Proactive and make it as good without just vast reams of data. And if they're not getting that data from us, like Google is, like, you know, Google takes your photos and it takes your email and it reads all of it and it learns about you through that. Like, I don't know how Apple's going to be able to pull that off without breaking some kind of privacy thing. So I'm really excited to see what they're, if they pull something like this off, what they're actually able to do.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a bit rudimentary at first, because you're right. They don't want to overstep their bounds with privacy. But I feel like they could do a good PR spin about, like, you know, you have all the control. You have all the control in this. You can toggle this, toggle that off. But it's very exciting because Google Now is amazing. Just the stuff that they can do with reading, you know, from your emails. And again, that's a whole privacy thing. But if Apple offers it, you know, they don't turn it on by default. But if Apple offers it, saying, you know, we'll read whatever's in the mail.app, we'll read that and digest that data and make these cool, you know, kind of cards, as it's Google Now calls it. It could be some pretty awesome stuff that they can do. And I don't know if I have time to talk about it this show. Maybe I'll save it for later. But I have been trying Google Photos out, and man, is it just bringing smiles to my face. It's really great. It's such an amazing tool that Google's put out. I mean if I may just give you one cool thing that it did. So I haven't uploaded every single photo quite yet, but it's getting there. What Google Photos does is it just digests them, and then a couple minutes later it intelligently puts things together, like animated GIFs, you know, pic stitches, videos. And one thing that was so amazing is there was photos in my camera roll of my last day at Apple, photos and videos. And Google had me an alert, and they said, oh, you have a new video. And they intelligently made this edited video with music in the background and everything. And it almost felt like someone at Google was dedicated to edit that video, and it had like pictures and it had videos, and it would chop things up and it made it look amazing. Like,
yeah,
that type of stuff is only there if I pretty much give up my privacy to them,
and if they have like millions of other people have as well.
Yeah, and you make a good point. How far can Apple go with Proactive? Well, you know, without having them to overstep some bounds. So it's going to be interesting.
Well, ignoring the privacy concern, which I think is going to be Apple's biggest hurdle with Proactive and something like this enhanced Siri digital assistant thing, putting that aside, I do think it will be really cool, and it's something that I really want, and it's a reason I would love to switch to Android, except for all of the other reasons of Android and Android phones. And I think Apple could do it really well, and it would be great. And I think it mentions in the post about replacing the contact bubbles, you know, in the multitasking now with, and that's where this Proactive kind of bubbles would appear, which I think is a great place for it, because I do not use that recent contacts list at all.
Never.
Yeah. And honestly, in this past version of iOS, I think Spotlight's gotten a lot better. I mean, I use it for like IMDb searches because it will load up right there. And their search Spotlight interface has gotten so much better, and I really like it. It's just there, nothing draws me into it other than to do searches. And then I sometimes forget, because humans that we are nowadays, our default response for searching something is open up Safari and go to Google. Like, that's when you want to search for something, that's where you go. So they really have to give us an incentive, just like with maps. They have to pull us and give us a reason to use Spotlight to search things rather than going directly to Google and Google us providing search.
I could have swore I read that they want to try to put Google Now, proactive stuff in that when you swipe down from Spotlight. Because when you swipe down, you have all this blank space. I mean, you have the text cursor, but that's a perfect place to put context-aware information on your device. And it would be nice for them to continue to revise their whole notification center type thing. I mean, the today notification still, I'm glad that they made it to two window panes, but it still has
instead of the ridiculous three that it was,
the mist. I mean, there's still more that they could do there. But this is all nitpicky stuff. I mean, we've reached the point with iOS, the mobile operating system, where it's tough to find low-hanging fruit, but when you do
find... It's to be something big. Like, there is not... I mean, there are little low-hanging fruits, like the shift key, which I think they're going to be changing. But to impress us, they really have to start doing bigger things, like just like Google. They have to keep up. Yeah, so one thing that I think is going to be really interesting that they're going to... for them to manage with iOS 9 is this suggestion, this rumor of force touch on the iPhone 6. So do you remember the cover-up scheme that they kind of did for the last WWDC of, like, wink, wink, we have different screen sizes coming, wink,
yeah,
wink.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, how are they going to cover that API up for Force Touch? Like, I assume with this new OS is going to have a Force Touch API in it, because the new hardware is going to have Force Touch on the screen. So how do they cover that up, even with the builds? Or do they just kind of be like, you know what, it's going to be there, we're just going to ignore it? They can't openly talk about iOS having Force Touch in it, can they?
No, but I think that the developers who are developing for Force Touch on the Apple Watch have the advantage when it comes to them announcing the next iPhone. You know, it's going to be a short time, but, you know, if they have the experience developing for Force Touch on the Apple Watch, then it'll be a smooth transition when it comes to the, you know, say they call it the 6S. I mean, it's a good point, but Apple's stubborn. They're not one to reveal everything that early.
Yeah.
And like with the screen sizes, I don't know if they can hint at it. I think that.
Yeah, that's the thing. They can't hint about this. So how are they going to not hint about it? But really, I don't think they can keep it a secret.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like they did this strategically. Like, all right, we're going to get them used to developing for Force Touch in the watch, and then we're going to drop it on, you know, the iPhone, and they'll just have to deal with it. And the ones who kind of adopted early are going to be the apps that sell. Well, what do you think about the font change that's rumored for not only just iOS 9, but for OS 10.11?
It's fine. Like, San Francisco isn't that far off from Helvetica. We've already switched to Helvetica on the Mac. Like, I don't think it's going to be a big deal at all. I don't know if you remember the point that Gruber made on the talk show, which is, I think, exactly why they're switching to San Francisco, of they have to license Helvetica. And Helvetica can't generate an Apple brand at the most basic level of digital devices nowadays, which is font display. Like, you read things, you get messages, and that font, they don't have control over even that part of the brand. It's Helvetica, it's licensed, but if they, and anyone can copy that UI, like anyone can use Helvetica and license Helvetica, and they lose their kind of Apple-y UI when everyone else starts using Helvetica and they've switched to it. And so if they switch to San Francisco, it's just, it makes the interface more unique and less replicable because they own that font.
Yeah, it's just another way for Apple control the way users interact with their devices. I mean, that seems like some of this stuff, like with the whole them taking over responsibilities with a lot of this map stuff, and it just seems like Apple just wants to internalize more and more things, and you know, rely less on third parties, or acquire them. Of course, you know, they have that.
Right.
Do you think they're going to talk any at all about Beats? Or is that really
well,
not the place?
I can't remember. I can't keep up with what Mr. Scoop Gurman says nowadays. Are we going to be talking about music? Like, is the music app going to be announced at WWDC?
It seems to still be on par to be announced. And that's the reason why I brought up Beats, is because it's still unclear if Apple wants to... It wants to keep them as a separate, you know, kind of brand, or is this going to be the initial nail in the coffin of, you know, Beats Music is going away and we are introducing Apple Music, and it's going to be integrated?
So I don't think Apple will ever drop the Beats brand regarding headphones. I think that brand is too big and like too recognizable for them to replace it with an Apple branded headphone, which is really just Beats headphone underneath. I do think that they will get rid of the Beats branding for music. I think that Beats Music will be gone because it doesn't have as big of a brand foothold as the headphones do. I mean, Spotify still beats it, and there's a lot of competition in streaming services. So I don't think Apple has any reason to keep two streaming services around when that's such a competitive marketplace, and rather just merge it all into one and like put their resources and pool them into one thing to try and gain some dominance back in the music industry.
I agree. And then there were some rumors just recently that they're going to get a couple of celebrity DJs, so to speak, to, you know, curate stations.
Will they get Jay-Z? Oh, wait, no.
Oh, I know. And I just read, I think Bloomberg really wrote a scathing piece on how Tidal is already failing. It's interesting. If I remember to put in the show notes, I will. But yeah, I think Apple is going to clearly, when it's Apple versus Tidal, I think Apple's going to clearly win that battle.
Well, they're not competing against Tidal. They're competing against Spotify.
Yeah. Like, Spotify is really their biggest competitor, but I think that this is going to be huge, and they'll be able to steal away a lot of Spotify customers if they do it right. And if it's anything like Beats Music, you're right. Beats Music had a really popular launch and a lot of users, but still, in comparison to something like Spotify, it wasn't even close. So if you can get the Beats Music capability in a native Apple app that comes on everyone's phone when they update, it sounds like a winning plan to me.
So almost all the rumors I've heard have been talking about iOS 9. Has there really been anything about new macOS other than it's getting San Francisco as a font?
The only other thing I read from Mr. Scoop Gurman is Control Center. It may have, you know, how you can swipe up on your iPad. It would be swipe from the left. Wow, not the left. Swipe from the left. And he said that some of the stuff that you see at your top menu bar, like Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and stuff like that, won't be there anymore, and it'll get moved.
Why wouldn't they just put that into the notification center? Like, swipe to the left seems so weird, especially as a right-handed user. Like, swiping over from the right side of the trackpad to bring up notification center totally makes sense. But then, like, bringing my hand the other direction to then swipe left with my right hand is a really awkward motion.
I think it would be a little too cluttered. But I like Apple when they do this type of stuff. I'm sure they'll have like an option where you can put it back in the menu bar. And then eventually they'll force you into it like a generation or two after. But you're right. There hasn't been much talk about OS 10, 10.11, or at least that's what it's rumored to be called. And that kind of makes me think that, you know, like German and others have said, with the whole stability and focus on quality, this may be the Snow Leopard moment for both OSs, and that's never happened in one shot, and it's starting to look that way. Even though we just talked about a number of features that could come to iOS 9, but none of them are, I guess, I don't know, polarizing or very, like, you know, wow factor stuff, like a music app, and the Siri stuff. That's kind of all the behind the scenes.
New music app isn't, if they kill iTunes.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, who knows? Maybe that's it. Yeah. But that just goes to show that, I guess more people are just interested in other rumors, and B, I don't know. Maybe people on the Mac team are less likely to give up the info to these journalists.
Say this proactive thing comes out, like, how much longer can they do this kind of feature swap where, like, it comes out on iPhone and then the next OS it's on Mac, and then it comes out on Mac and the next OS it's on iPhone? Like, I don't think they can do that very much longer. I think they have to really start, especially with, like, continuity and their big push for that, they really have to start keeping these features paired up between the OSs. So I think if proactive comes out, it should also come out on the Mac.
Cody, I think you just cracked the code of the epicenter of change. You know, that could quite be why they're calling it the epicenter of change. Like, this is where two OSs, although they're separate, this is where they reach, you know, close to feature parity, and they're going to kind of step alongside of each other from now on. So this is the epicenter of the change that's going to happen for the next coming years. So you literally may have cracked the Da Vinci Code of what's WWDC 2015, Cody.
Well, really, you know, I guess after thinking about it, epicenter of change, you know, WWDC is in San Francisco, so that's the epicenter of WWDC, and then they're changing the font to San Francisco. So San Francisco is the epicenter of the change.
Oh my God. Now I take back all the compliments that I just said.
I gotta even it out.
So, as we record this on a Wednesday evening, on my commute home, I received some real devastating news in the rumor mill from
Mark Gurman.
Not from Mr. Scoop Mark Gurman, and I'll get to why I think that. This is from the New York Times, and the New York Times is saying they were the first to report Apple is pulling this rumored new Apple TV hardware off the table. They are not going to announce. They're not going to announce it. And that coincides with, something that came out earlier in the week. And I forget who originally got this this scoop. I think it was Recode. Recode said that the TV subscription service was not going to be announced, but they may still announce the hardware and the SDK. And now today, the New York Times is saying that no Apple TV news whatsoever. And in my opinion, I think that is an Apple plant. You know,
they're setting expectations.
Exactly. This is totally Apple setting expectations, because they do not want an uproar when no Apple TV gets announced. And yep. When a respectable publication like the New York Times says it, everyone pretty much believes it. And they're like, all right, well, that's almost a fact, especially this close to the event. But man, am I bummed the hell out about this news.
Well, so to quell your bumness, do you think this is because it's not ready yet? Or do you think it's just because that keynote's going to be really damn long if they have to put that in there?
Neither. It is totally a content holdup. I'm telling you, it's a content holdup. That's why the original rumor was web TV subscriptions weren't coming out, and now the hardware is not coming out. They could release this hard. First of all, they could have released this hardware in, you know, 2-3 years ago. But they could release this hardware with just an app development kit, and you know, maybe do some games and do some apps here or there. But it seems like, I don't know who's stubborn in Apple or who wants to, you know, they don't want to announce it without the full package. But it seems like to me, some deal fell through in the last minute, and it's now kind of taken their strategy and they don't, they just want to just put the kibosh on it until they figure things out. But it, for a consumer, for someone like me, like I like, you know, like I've said many times, I love my Apple TV, but I'm kind of getting sick of the how far behind it is.
Oh, once again, I was sitting, like, I wanted to search for something and I was like, man, this UI is freaking terrible, going from like HBO to Hulu, and or like, oh, it's not on Netflix. Oh, well, let me see if it's on Hulu. Like, just doing the searching, it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, like, is AirPlay, for me, is AirPlay
ever going to work?
No. AirPlay is, like I said, is like the one of the main reasons why I haven't gotten the, purchased these other set-top boxes. But like, is AirPlay worth it for me to hold off even longer?
I don't think this isn't going to be that far away. I say it happens in 3 months. I think that everything's done and set, except for maybe a little, some content people are, there's a little, just the ink hasn't dried yet. It's still wet. And they also don't want to take away the spotlight of a new product, because it's not just going to be Apple TV, another little set-top box again. I think it's going to be very, it's going to be different enough from that, that it needs its own light. It needs its own, you know, time on the stage by itself. And I think with music, iOS 9, a new Mac OS, and then they also have to go into all the features of these things. I don't think they have enough time to give a new Apple TV service or whatever it is enough time on the stage.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the if it's not coming here, we have to wait until September.
I don't think so. Why can't they do an event in July or August?
Because I don't think that this new hardware is going to be worthy of its own event, personally. I mean, yes, it's big. They're getting content deals and such. But it's not worth getting journalists to fly across the country and the world just so that they could...
Journalists will fly to Mars and back to come to an Apple event.
So before we wrap up the show, I wanted to ask you, what is your favorite
color?
No, what is your favorite keynote? That, like, what is the keynote that you remember watching? Let's exclude the original iPhone. Let's exclude that. But what's like the keynote that you remember watching that was like blew you away and that you, I don't know, that you have a special moment? Because I have one in mind, but I'm just curious what yours is.
I think maybe probably the one that I remember was I'm gonna say the iPhone 4, just because it was such a dramatic change from. Just in shape. It was kind of the first time where there was some new design, and the iPhone started to not look like every other mobile phone design-wise. I mean, the first one was a big shift, but the first one, I think the 3G and the 3GS all kind of came in the same family, and then this new, like, all glass and metal bands and very sharp lines. It was fun to see that transition, and I just remember being when they revealed it, like, oh, wow.
See, I shouldn't have asked you first because you obviously stole mine, Cody.
Okay, I'll change mine.
No, I'm just kidding.
My
just
favorite kidding. One is when Eddie Q...
Eddie Q did the keynote thing.
Yes.
Seriously. I remember this like yesterday. Like, I had my friend come over, and this is before Apple did not live stream the keynote for video. So I had my laptop hooked up to my TV with, Engadget or whatever blog that was big at the time, live blogging it. And I remember every feature after feature coming out with that iPhone. Like, we knew what the body looked like from the whole Gizmodo saga.
Right.
But, like, when they announced, like, that the rear-facing camera could do high-definition video, 720p high-definition video, like, that blew me away. It literally knocked me out of my chair. Like, and then...
Literally? Literally or literally, metaphorically literally?
No, I mean, I may have fell down on my knees, but I was literally in awe of that. And then I was just watching this keynote, like, I don't know, 2-3 months ago. And then Steve Jobs has to yell at everybody multiple times to turn off their Wi-Fi yes. devices because of the FaceTime demo. And all these journalists are not listening to him, and he's getting like, This was the closest to seeing him like right before he explodes. He was so mad. And then when he does the demo and it's kind of pausing and he's like, Johnny, this demo never freezes if these people would ever turn off their Wi-Fi devices. And it's just like, so you can cut the tension with a knife. Like I don't know. I love the iPhone 4 keynote. It has like a special place. It was also the first phone. It wasn't my first iPhone, but it was the first phone I waited out online for. Like literally waited on a line at an Apple store midnight before. So me and you, we're on the same brain wavelength. But I guess that's it. Unless you have anything else you want to add.
No. It's winter is coming.
Oh gosh, I don't watch Game of Thrones, but I'm a pop culture.
You don't watch Game of Thrones?
No, but I'm a pop culture junkie, and I know why you're saying that. So
we'll leave that to another show.
Like Cody mentioned earlier, diagnosticsandusage.com/20 to find the show notes. If you would like to throw us a couple bucks per month and get an after show at the end of each month, you know, consider going to patreon.com/DAU show. Or if you just want to support us in another way, you know, an iTunes rating goes a long way for us. So, you know, thank you either way for listening. And Cody, where would people go if they wanted to find you on Twitter?
@CPCoats.
And I am at Joe Caiati, CAIATI, and I write at joecaiati.info. And we will talk to you all next week. It's going to be big when Apple reveals.
Epicenter of change.
All right. Have a good night, Cody.
Bye.